Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are joining Apostle Paulius Amakodia, co-host, and Reverend Betty Shelby, and myself, Donna Wortham, here at for Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. Blog Talk Radio Show. And we welcome you to our show, and which is being held today, March 3rd, 2014, and where we are here to equip and empower the body of Christ and add value to your God-inspired destiny and purpose in life. Today, we will be talking about our topic, which is about Christian leadership today, Christian leadership. And we're talking about how to be, what are the traits of a true Christian leader that has genuine trust and credibility with them. Genuine trust and credibility. And I'm going to read, before I begin first, though, I would like to ask that Reverend Betty Shelby, please open us up in prayer. Apostle Paulius, can you please open us up in prayer?
Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we come upon you this afternoon. We submit our will to your will. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us and bring to revelation what you are about to teach us. We pray that we'll be sensitive and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Take our will and let your will be done. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle Paulius. And, you know, one of the things about Christian leadership is that we must hold on to having a genuine trust and credibility with the followers. And really, in all actuality, all of us are considered as being children of the Most High God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we choose to follow him. So with that, when we have others that we are coaching along the way to help them to become strong Christian leaders, it's very important that we display a genuine trust and credibility to them, that they will follow us so that we can also release the vision of Jesus Christ. And I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 10, 1 through 5, and from the King James Version, what Jesus says. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will not follow." Amen?
Amen.
"A stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." That was John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5 of the King James Version. In this verse, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with the thieves and the robbers that come after the innocent sheep, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes who fooled the sheep into believing that they are the true guides of the children of God. And Of course, we know by reading the Word of God that the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes portrayed themselves as being highly self-esteemed in the courts, but Jesus said inside the cup was very dirty. We do not, as Christian leaders, want to bear such traits. We want to bear the true God-given traits of God. And trust is such a simple word, but is often miscomprehended by many leaders and followers today. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, trust is believing that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, or even effective. From a follower's perspective, they may feel that they can rely on a leader's character, their ability, the strength, and the truth. But as being a true Christian leader, we follow the trend and the abilities of Jesus Christ. All of us, the followers and the leaders, we are to follow the trends and abilities of Jesus Christ that were written and set forth down in the Holy Bible as a guidance to us to lead and to follow the great vision of Jesus Christ, which is his gospel and abiding in the principles and concepts of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ backed up what he said, and when he was with miracles, he backed it up with the miracles that were unheard of since the world began, as we can see in John 9:32. You know, the Bible tells us that it was him who healed the blind man, and that was something that occurred that never had happened before since the world had began. And it says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? So Jesus backed up what he said, and his followers could see that he was portraying the truth and portraying himself where they could trust that he was the true living God. He also revealed himself as an agent of creation, as Elohim. And trusting Christian leaders, we should be agents of our creators just as well. We should be agents of our creator, Elohim. Amen? And also, when people trust you, they will be more inclined to follow you. If they follow you and you have a clear and concise vision of Jesus Christ, the whole world will be impacted. We will be able to put the devil to shame and increase the kingdom of God in the world and lessen the darkness that is so in existence today. All of the puzzles will fit together without open ends, and everyone will be successful. I believe a good Christian minister leader builds trust by considering the good of God when making decisions and not the good of themselves. God calls many of his children to be Christian leaders, so it is important that every Christian be considered as a leader. Paul was very humble in his calling as a servant and a leader. So I'm going to open up the floor now to our guests that are here with us and the co-hosts that are also on the line with us. And first of all, I want to open the floor to Apostle Apollyas Amakodia of Christ for the Africans Ministry, and he is a co-host of the show, so I'm turning it over to you now, Apostle. Please feel free, because this is Real Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you very much for this topic. You know, most of us, we have been confused by Christian leader and the world leader. Christian leader lead by an example. Let's say, for instance, when Jesus Christ came on the earth here, he was leading us to go back to God and to able to eat the fruit of life. So all what he was doing is to show us the way. I remember when there was a time Jesus told his disciples that he had to die, he had to go to the cross. They did not understand why he should go to the cross. But he knew his destiny. He knew that he had to die before he can receive the glory. So Peter said, no. How could we, stay and allow you to go to Jerusalem to be crucified? No. No, no. Don't go. Don't go. Jesus, don't go. You see, the way Jesus looked at Peter and said, oh, Peter, you are becoming Satan. You are Satan. Get beside me. I'm the one leading you. You are not supposed to lead me. I'm the one leading you. So I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem so that I may suffer a lot of things. When you compare this message to Christian leaders don't show any example. They are leading by influence, instructions, like the world leaders. So this sometimes becomes difficult for somebody who has joined the church to trust that leader, because we may not know the leader life, his private life or his life that he has been living. So he may have great influence, but that doesn't mean I should trust him. I'm only trusting him. People only trust him because of the words that he's spoken, or because he's a Christian leader, or because he's a pastor who is leading the ship. So it's different from Christian leader. Christian leader, we should set an example, because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We should produce works. We should allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, that we may be able to lead others. When you look at the worldly leaders, you can see them living and theological example. They give instructions, do this or do that or do this. He's telling his ministers, do this or do that. There's no practical example. But because we are following a God who is practical, so he always will show you an example. And that example that people see will influence them to follow up, to show up. Even if they are not willing to do, when they see you doing, they will also will do. It's not all the time that we should instruct people, do this, do that, or do this, bring money, or do this, do this. We have to do as Christ has shown us. You know, when you look at Paul, he says something that challenged all of us. Say, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so, some how to obtain the resurrection from the dead. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He said he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He has received his calling, but it's not enough for him to know him. But Christ went further to suffer, to be crucified, and to die, and to have that power to live again. So he said, I want to know him, not his death, not his teaching, not his doing the miracles, not his visit, but I want to know him by his suffering. I want to know his suffering. I want to fellowship his suffering, how he suffered. I want to experience him so that I can obtain the power that rose him again. And we all need that power that rose Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the full example of our leadership. For me, as a leader that I want to lead, I would say Jesus Christ is our leader, and what I'm doing is an example of what he led. And allowing my people who are interested in my work that I'm doing will also see the example, the sacrificial example, the suffering that I have also fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. So leadership is not influencing your followers by showing the example, the right example of what to do, because they don't know nothing. They are just following you. So you have to show them an example. So by showing an example, you have to be honest. You have to be trustful. You have to be truthful. Everything you are doing, you have to know where you get your money of doing something, where your resources. Everything you have to let them know. So Jesus Christ, as I've told you, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he chose only 12 disciples to train them. He didn't train 50 people. He chose only 12 people. That's the 12 tribes of Israel, who will represent the 12 tribes of Israel, to train them. So as he was training them, they asked him questions. And he told them, they asked him, "Oh, Master, why sometimes when you are with the crowd, you speak parables? But you are explaining." They say, "Yeah, the kingdom of God, you, they have given the kingdom of God to you so that you can understand. But the people outside, they will read, they can never understand. They will hear, they will understand. So before you can understand Jesus Christ and his teachings and his leadership, you have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to die and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ before you can understand the type of leadership he brought. And that is the only solution that we can able to overcome the devil. Mm-hmm. First, he himself allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him to wilderness to try him, to test him. And we all know the story. So in theoretica, Jesus Christ was already defeated the devil before he went to the cross. He has already defeated the devil because he has already had defeat. He has already defeated because what the devil showed to him on the time he was wilderness were all something he was enticing Jesus to abound his destiny that he came to fulfill. But he proved to the devil that he must to fulfill his destiny. That only God that we should serve. Only God that we should worship. So all the tricks the devil, all the strategy the devil played could not stop him. Let's say, for instance, in practical, when Peter saw that Jesus Christ is going to suffer in the in Jerusalem, he said, Jesus, no, We shouldn't go to Jerusalem. And he said, get beside me, you Satan. Peter Satan? No. But Satan wanted to use Peter to serve Jesus Christ. Satan wanted to use Peter to serve Jesus Christ. So Jesus saw it and rebuked Peter. So leadership, the type of leadership Jesus Christ wants us to experience is to, for us to deny ourselves, for us to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And if the Holy Spirit leads us fully, then we can able to show to our followers how they should follow.
Amen, amen. That's true. I really do believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. As you brought out before on one of our other, yesterday actually in the prayer session, you brought out that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And this is so for every leader, every born-again Christian, that we should follow Jesus, his way, his truth, and his life. And we can only know if we remain steadfast, immovable, and abiding in his word. Now, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines credibility as the quality of being believed or accepted as a true, real, or honest person. An exceptional leader should be capable of inspiring the Christian belief genuinely. Amen?
Amen.
Genuinely. There is often what's called a credibility gap that exists when something is not totally aligned with the Word of God and only gives an appearance on the surface that it is aligned in with, which will leave a question mark in the mind of the follower. So we have to close those credibility gaps that exist in the body of Christ by honoring the Word of God and sharing the Word of God in the fullness so that people will know the full truth and be able to walk in it and to be able to understand it. When we leave parts of it left undone or unsaid, then it becomes confusion to the body of Christ, and it brings in a credibility gap that questions whether or not what we truly believe in is what we say it is. So good Christian leaders must be credible and not abuse their power that they have or the authority that has been given to them over the body of Christ. But they should be able to build trust by using their authority properly. We do have a sense of authority for us to say that there is no type of authority there. Yes, it is. Anytime when you have someone following you, they will follow you to the full extreme as long as they believe and they trust in what you're saying is true, long as they can see that you're taking them somewhere that is going to add value to their destiny and empower and equip them, that's sustaining them, they will follow you. So you do have a sense of authority there, but using that authority in the wrong way is not what a true Christian leader will do. And we can learn from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he stated in the book of John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If your voice is bearing the words and the truth and the spirit of Jesus Christ, and it declares the vision of Jesus Christ, the sheep will willingly follow you, and they become a part of the common vision that we all have, and that is building up the kingdom of God. God calls many of his children to be Christian leaders. So it is important that every Christian be considered as a leader. And Paul was very humble in his calling as a servant leader, as I stated earlier. He didn't claim control over any follower, nor did he promote himself to self-chief or self-important. in oppressive position, as we often see what happens today in the body of Christ. Leaders that use force and manipulate it on individuals will cause the followers to dissipate due to frustration, because they will not be able to meet the exaggerated goals that the leaders spell out. If you're calling your leaders to fast, for instance, their followers to fast, if you make it bring it into a forceful state, an authoritarian state, they most likely will not follow you, or nor will they obey you. But if you show them by the word of God, if you show them the importance of us taking time to consecrate and worship God in the fullness, so that we can hear and get the revelations from them, then they will surely follow. But it's not something that we do by force, using forceful words and fraternal techniques to control the population. It will not work. This thing has to be in the truth and spirit of God. When the individuals are made to feel that they cannot meet the expectation again, they give up. They give up, and then they will not apply themselves, nor will they want to listen and follow. And that is the last thing that we want to do, is be like an abusive leader. You know, some abusive leaders, they may mean well because they think that they're practicing what, you know, basically they're practicing what they've been taught, the concepts and precepts and laws of man that have been established now, or even for a long time ago. Back in the 1400 centuries, we can see when Martin Luther came or broke away from the old Roman Catholic way, that it was a practice then, even then, of the concepts and the precepts of laws of man. It was also in existence at the time when the Pharisees and Sadducees were ruling or had an authoritative position. Now, their style was more like authoritarianism leadership style, which was rooted in the hunger of power and control over the mindsets of individuals. That is not a proper trait of a Christian leader. Authoritarian leaders, they rationalize and they defend such behavior that they have for abusing the followers under the guise and a pretense love of the followers. It's pretense. It's not for real. And they are more apt to not enter the door with transparency. They are the ones that climb up a different way, as Jesus tells us about what is a good shepherd and what is the contrast of a false shepherd. Reverend Betty Shelby, can you please share your thoughts on what the traits of a genuine and trusting and credible leader would be?
Amen. Yes, I will. I would love to. Number one, the only genuine and true leader is Jesus Christ. He came, he learned from his Father, God, and then he came to earth and he showed us the way. He even says in his word, I only do what my Father showed me. What he taught me, that's what I do. And as a true, developed, genuine trust and credibility of a leader, it's number one, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, wholeheartedly and truthfully. Did you accept him? When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, true and wholeheartedly, it means the whole 180-degree turnaround, that he instills, put like this, he bursts in us compassion. And when he bursts in us the compassion, which the compassion of Christ, we now see things differently. Also, we learn to crucify the flesh, to stop things that we used to do, to give up our sinful nature, to give up things that we used to do, the pattern. He says that old things are passed away, all things become new. Also, that we be the clay and let God mold us, because he says in his word, I am the potter, you are the clay. Then he instills in us the good fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, with all these ingredients, if you want to put them as we are making something, which we are the vessel as God has made us, when you put these together, then the light of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, shines within us. And he says that when people who are in darkness sees the light, you'd want to go to the light. With that light, we draw, and it draws people out from where they are. It also brings, as a leader, to be faithful and to be trustworthy, to come and tell the truth. We must, my mom used to say a long time ago, she said there's eyes in the daytime, but there's mostly eyes in the dark. And people watch you, and they look at your character. They look how you handle yourself. They look at how you help people. We would, if we see, I'm always in Walmart, I should say, and I see stuff on the floor, and I'm always like, people just step on it. Well, I think about it, I have to purchase that. It may be my size, so I would pick it up and put it back on the rack. It's a way that you handle yourself. And I think of Joyce Myers when she said that the Lord told her to take the grocery cart back to its the grocery slot where the basket slots are out in the parking lot, or take it back to the store once we finish it. And says that when she does that it helps to keep the prices down and so that we can be able to afford things. It also develops character. If we're going to follow Christ, we must have all these things. The crucified flesh, the vessel of clay, the good fruits of the Spirit, that when we walk, man may see the light that's in us and want to change, want to follow. And then when we're given position, the Lord said if we be faithful over a few things, he'll make us rulers over many. And as he develops us to grow and we rule over things, how do we rule? I was thinking today, the good soldier. How would I rule? Would I be a good ruler? Would I be a king like Nebuchadnezzar? Or would I be a king like Jesus? How would I rule? How would I be faithful over the things that he has given me to rule over? Will I still have that honesty? Will I still have that love, that patience, as I had at the beginning? So that, what I say, is a genuine trust and credibility of a Christian leader is the first. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let him develop you to where you need to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Reverend Betty. I truly believe what both you and Apostle said is very important for the body of Christ now, because truth and spirit must reign now in this hour. And it is important that we, because the goal is to lead the followers as Jesus Christ is leading you. And you cannot do that without, as we said on our last series, without remaining in worship, covenant, and relationship with Christ. And he will surely guide you and give you the light, the direction, the insight that you will need, because he is our ultimate shepherd. Amen. It is stated that he is Yehovah Roho. He is our shepherd. He is God. in the flesh that came here on earth that we may know him. He is God now in the heavens. Amen?
Amen.
And Amen. So trust fosters collaboration, which we will contribute to openly sharing value insights for a common vision and a goal. So it fosters collaboration. It fosters our communication. It fosters the ability for teams and groups of people to come together or as the body of Christ in fellowship and seeking God and worshiping him and as the utmost and most highest. Amen? And this will
Amen.
Create a solid Christian supporters and fellowshippers that come with each other in mutual trust, which is based on respect and the expectations of a Christian leader who cares and acts with genuine love and compassion. And it will positively impact in giving God all of the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So some of the most commonly known transparent Christian leadership traits are honesty, integrity, compassion, fairness, good relationship, ethics, covenant, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, self-awareness, charity, love, peace, vision, covenant with God, true worshipers of God, and self-control. And they also have an impactful servant leadership. And Apostle Paulus, I'm going to turn it over to you. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the understanding of credibility, how a leadership can display credibility, because it often comes about in the body of Christ that we see that there's so many followers that are coming outside of the church now. They're running away from what's supposed to be the place of worship of God because there's an appearance of a leader not being genuinely credible or trusting. What can a leader do to instill that credibility?
Oh, thank you very much. When you look at this, our generation, leaders are not showing this kind of credibility. They are living a luxurious life, a life that, does not glorify God by glorifying the worldly system, the Babylonian system, that they have everything. They have money. They have things, material things. This doesn't show anything credible. First of all, we have to, as I've told you, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. When he went to wilderness and the devil showed him all the worldly system, the material things, he should have accepted. He should have accepted. And that should have been the doom of his ministry. But he rejected them. I said, no. I don't want them. So we should show ourselves that our focus are in the Lord. We should show our followers that it's the God who will supply all our needs, not we manipulating them. You know, if we are leading, somebody even will bring something to you that, oh, I think we may need these things. I think we may need this money for God's project. I think, why you haven't told them, they will come to you. Like when the apostles, received the Holy Spirit and to lead the early churches, they all agree that they should, sell their properties. And because they trusted the apostle, they brought all those things to the apostles for the unity of the body. So, before we can able to show our people that our focus is on the Lord, we have to live a lifestyle that, genuinely, transparent about who we are and where we are going. We have to show them. We have to show them the light, because everybody wants the light. Everybody don't want to be in darkness. So when we show them the light, they will also will follow our lifestyle and say, oh, how this leader is behaving. I like his character. I like his behavior. I like his attitude. I like his listening. So you will not tell them. They will copy you. They will copy you. But if you show them how you are living in luxurious life, buying cars, living in driving Mercedes, living in a luxury house, they also will be looking for those things. And that will not glorify God. Because God has let us know that this life that we are living, we are all strangers in this land. We are going somewhere. So we have to show to our leaders that we are passing by, we are going somewhere. By you setting examples, by giving to your followers some of their needs, their basic needs. Some of our people don't even have a basic need. But when the money comes, you use all the money to build something that is material, try to show the whole world that, oh, God is blessing us. It's not fair. We should make sure that our followers are on board and their basic needs are being supplied by you as a leader. We have to serve our followers, not for our followers to serve us. Jesus showed the example. He washed his disciples' feet. He washed them to show them the example, how they should do, how they should live their life. They should care for their followers as much as they are concerned. I remember when he was preaching to them and a multitude came, and Jesus were feeling hungry. The people were feeling hungry. So disciples told Jesus, let us dismiss them so that they can go and find food. Jesus said, no. We cannot dismiss them. So he asked them whether they have something. And we all know the story. And they brought a little food, and he blessed them. Because he was doing the will of God. God, who can do all things in the times of this thing, was able to multiply the food that they brought. And each of them were able to eat and satisfy. So if you are not living in a selfish life, we are thinking about the people. God will show himself strong and increase us in numbers and increase us in everything that we do. He will make sure that he brings the food that he will multiply our food. He will supply our food. God is able to supply our food. See, even if he can take care of the bears, if he can take care of the bears, how much more our Father will not take care of us. We know we are making it difficult for God to take control because we have rejected the Holy Spirit. We have put the Holy Spirit aside, thinking we are smarter than the Holy Spirit. So we are telling the, our people, bring your tithe, bring your this thing. But some people basically don't have the food, even to a different to bring tithes. You see? So we have to depend on the on God. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to bring the tithes. He didn't tell them, but he was showing them an example. People were bringing food to them, money to them, although there's no record there, but Jesus said they were having money, where Judas was the caretaker, was the treasury. They were having money. They were not lack anything. They didn't build a house, but we have to build a house for our meetings. No, because they know that this earth here, we are passing by. We are going somewhere. So that we should be focused, that we are all passing by. So we should not think of, creating impression to the world that God has blessed us. This is some of our leaders' dreams. They have built the churches millions of dollars, while some of the people are suffering. So that doesn't show us to be a good leader. By good leaders, you have to think about the people that are following us. And if you think about the people, God himself will bring people to support our vision. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I agree with you totally. I have compassion and I feel sorrowful for when I see people that are really striving, they're striving with a zeal for God, just as Paul, when he was Saul, he had a zeal for God, but he was going in the wrong direction because he was taught the Pharisee way. He was taught the Sadducee way and the scribe way for the kingdom of God. So it wasn't until Christ revealed himself on his way to Damascus that, he had to be blinded and then the scales removed before he could take full understanding and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and where he went out and fervently and strong to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was one who stated strongly he wasn't doing it for himself, but he was crucified with Christ. He was crucified and willing to give up. He had such a gratitude and for the salvation that was given to him that he was willing to go well beyond the way what he was capable of doing to serve Christ, because the Bible said he even had a thorn in his side. But yet he was still going. He was still running the race. He was still trying to reach the unattainable level of being Christ-like, so that people will follow the realness of Christ, not himself. And I like to remind the audience now at this time, you are listening to Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., a Blog Talk radio show, where we are here to equip and empower the body of Christ and add value to your God-inspired destiny and purpose. And we're here with Apostle Paulius Amakodia, founder of Christ for the Africans Ministry, and Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple, CME Boley, Oklahoma, both of which are co-hosts of the show. And we are talking about genuine trust and credibility. How does the leader maintain and have that genuine trust and leadership where the followers will follow them? And I just want to throw something out here about credibility and trust, because one of the most common things that I see now that is happening, also Apostle Paulie has pointed it out about everyone wanting to have their big houses and cars, okay? And I none of us, I'm sure, have a problem with us being able to be able to prosper, because I believe the kingdom of God will prosper because we should have dominion over earth. But I also believe that we should care for the believers, as he stated. We should be caring for the followers. We should be taking all of the things that come in, and we should be releasing it back out as charity also to help the people who are following the vision of Jesus Christ. But I want to read in Revelation chapter 6, which says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Now, so that's telling me that David, looking at the nature of King David, King David was a king, but yet he was able to go off into the temple and eat of the bread without anything happening to him. So it also tells me that he held a priestly estate. And we know that in that time, the kings, they were taking care of the temple of the living God. But yet he also, being a priest, was also taking care of the kingdom, taking care of the kingdom. So Betty, Reverend Betty Shelby, at this time, excuse me for just calling you out as Betty, but Reverend Betty Shelby, in this time, in this hour, is because I know you so well. That's why I do that. And we just talk plain talk. We just talk plain talk. What I see is that we have so many people that are trying to uphold being kings in the house with followers, more so being priests, more so being the priest after the order of Melchizedek, in which Jesus was, that we can follow that same trend, which King Melchizedek was the Prince of Peace. So we know that by that, that peace should be reigning in the house of God. But as kings, you know, kings are waiting for people to come and lift them up into glory most of the time, if they're not humble kings. King David was a humble king, I would say, more so, because even when he went into the cave where King Saul was, he took remembrance, and God reminded him, you know, that thou touch not that on thy anointed, do thy prophets no harm. But here, now what I see is that prophets are destroying prophets, fighting prophets. Just as in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they wanted Jeremiah's coming and telling the truth, and then here are these false prophets that's trying to make him out to be a lie, declaring peace, peace, declaring that, oh, you're okay. You know, God's going to bless you with a car. God's going to bless you with a house. I don't feel like that's credible. By the word of God, I don't see it to be credible. What are your thoughts on that, Reverend Betty Shelby?
Praise the Lord, and that's okay. My thoughts on one I want to say is that when you're in the body of Christ, we are blessed. My Heavenly Father tells me all the time, I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the fields. I'm blessed when I come and when I go. Now, to some people, they kind of get, they use God as a tool of to have. But the Lord, when you read your word and study your word, it's our Father who gives. He says to me all the time that, he says, I give good gifts to my children. He just said, if your father can give you a good gift and knows what you want to give you the good gift, he said, but I'm greater than your earthly father. He said, I give good gifts to his children. Now, as we look at that, for as credibility, I'm going to use myself. I've heard people tell me that I was rich, and I have to tell them that because of my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to his word, I am rich. My Father says in his word, he has a cattle of 1,000 hills. My Father, my Heavenly Father, says that. Now, with that being, does not mean I should get the big head and just go do crazy things. This is a part of crucifying the flesh. But if what I'm about my Father's business, He blesses me. Jesus, when He was in the temple and He was telling that I'm anointed to preach the gospel, and when His parents came to get Him, He says, I'm just being about my Father's business. They didn't understand, but He left and He was obedient. If I'm obedient to the Father and I don't sacrifice, He said obedience is better than sacrifice. He blesses me. I remember one day I was praying. My car broke down, and I didn't have a car anymore, and I had to walk. And to walk, I humbled myself when I had to walk, and I would tell myself, thank you, Lord, for humbling my soul, my spirit. Thank you, Father, for bringing my flesh under subjection to your word. Thank you, Father, that you're exercising my body. You know, and I would walk daily. There are times I would get a ride, and there's times I wouldn't. But I would walk, and I would just thank God. And one day, in a particular day, the Lord had was a newspaper there, and the Lord told me to open up this newspaper. And when I opened up the newspaper, I opened to the part where there's a car dealership, and it says, call in on the phone and leave your information and for a car. Well, I said, you know, Lord, they ain't going to give me no car. So anyway, I called in to be obedient. I called in, gave my information. And once I gave my information, praise the Lord, the man called me one day, and he said, I have a car for you. And I was like, yeah, right. I can't even get nowhere. And to make the long story short, the man came and got me, drove me an hour and a half away to go and purchase. He said, just go look at what you want. And I ended up picking my Expedition. And when being blessed, even his wife came to, and his children came to make sure that this is what the Lord had picked out for me. They said, that's the car for you. And all of that, I got my car, was on my way home, driving my new car, praising God and thanking Him. And my payments were $700 a month. And I wanted to turn right around and go back and give the car back because I said, I can't make a $700 payment. But the Lord blessed me. And he said, what's my number? What does seven mean? And I said, seven means completion. And he said, yes. He said, then I'll make every payment. God blessed me just by being obedient to him. Also, I want to say with that, too much is given, much is required. And with that requirement of he giving me the car and making the payment, I said, Lord, anybody who needed to go to church, I will take them. I will pick them up, whether it be at my church, anybody else's church. Lord, I will be humble and pick them up and give them a ride to their church, and I will be able. Said I will be also humble to pick them up. Anybody needing a ride to the store, Lord, that can't get there, I will be humble enough to take them and do it in peace and in love, the good fruits of the Spirit. And I want to share with you all out of Proverbs chapter 3. It says, happy, well, first of all, I'm going to verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. and happy are all who retain her. With anything that we get, we need to have wisdom. Wisdom makes us realize that all things come from the Lord. I was looking in my closet one day, and the Lord said, "Do you not know that you're blessed?" And I said, "No, Lord." He said, "You have clothes. You have shoes." And he took me back into Exodus as the children, where he brought out of Egypt, out from under the hand of Pharaoh. There was some that had an extra cloak and an extra pair of shoes, and there was some that didn't have but what they had on their back and what they had on their feet. And the Lord said, "I was they shade by day, and I was they light, they fire by night." And he said, when they grew, their shoes grew. Their clothes grew. When there was some that could take a bath, when he allowed them to take baths, that only could just bathe and wash out their clothes and put them back on. You know, we have to look at ourselves. If we are about God's business, we're blessed. We are blessed, truly blessed. Now, there are some of us that are hoarders. You know, we want more and more and more and more. Be thankful for what you have. Because there's a time, as my prayer partner always tells me, there's a time to gather and there's a time to give away. In season, if we have my car, my truck, my Expedition, I was telling you about that, $700 a month that I paid, that I didn't pay, the Lord paid. And then there was a time that when it broke down, he told me to, "Betty, let's go, give it away. Give it away." And I was about to cry when my car got towed off. You know, the man bought it. And he said, "Don't drop a tear." He said, "The same God that gave you that one will be the same God that will give you another one." And I said, "Yes, Lord." I didn't drop a tear. I gave him praise. And I said, "Lord, if I have to walk again, I will walk in Jesus' name. I will still give you praise. But I know that I know that you will provide." And looked around. One day, this man called me from Texas. And he said, "Our dealership don't do this, but I have a car for you." And he said, I said, "But I have no way to get to Texas because I don't have a car." And the man said, "We'll bring it to you." I want to let you know today who's listening on the radio station, God will provide. If you just humble yourself to him and let him mold you and make you, he will provide. He will teach you. He will even let you know what's going on. That's credibility. And I also want to say that credibility also come back in the day, they would say your word was your credit. When you borrow it today, pay it back. If you don't have it today, then you need to tell them that I don't have it today, but tomorrow I will have it. Be faithful and honest in what you do. That's credibility. Even in your home with your children, husbands with your wives, wives with your husbands and your children, be held accountable for what you say, your words. Be held accountable because our words hold honor. Our words hold credibility. Our words hold the honesty. It holds the peace and the love and the joy. If we say bad things or we do wrong things and don't hold ourselves accountable, then we're on the wrong side. Amen?
Amen. 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 I agree with you totally, and I think also I want to throw this out there because you touched on an area at the end of your conversation, which you brought it back to the home, which when we are incredible one. Trusting leaders, and we're genuine about what we're doing. Normally at home, the same thing that we portray outside in the body of Christ, it should be the same thing that it is at home. Now, being a pastor and a Christian life coach, there's many a times that I have dealt with persons that were married or that assumed Christian leadership positions and married at home. And I've even the children have said, you know, things that gave an indication of an abusive, authoritarian type of leadership. And that can be male or female. So I'm not just relating it to a male being in the home. But being a Christian leader, you should be able to guide your home without abuse, mentally or physically, because you are leading by Jesus Christ. Even though, you know, at times there's pressure from outside forces, we still should try to lead with the Christ capability, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Apostle Paulius, I want to turn it over to you. Can you talk in that area? Will you share what your thoughts are?
For which area to... When something arises in the home, or what do you mean? Hello?
Okay, I'm talking about the leader on this in the church and then also in the home. How should that leader, how can they be credible and genuine inside of the home also? Without exerting authoritarian type leadership or controlling type leadership. You know, when we look at an authoritarian, they move by force. So maybe the person that they want to follow them, they're not doing it the way that they see it. They're doing it the way, you know, that they have been taught to do it, the way that they grew up in their environment, the roots that have been established with them. But an authoritarian type leadership style will be, no, it's my way, no other way, but, you know, this is it, you know, but it's really that we should have it, that it's Christ's way that we're following, not the rule and reign of man or woman's precepts and laws. It's all based on Christian principles and concepts. How can someone that is in such a situation where they find themselves where they want to use force to make someone follow them or use manipulation other means and ways to try to get the person to follow. What can they do to actually lead their home and the body of Christ effectively without using force or abuse mentally or physically?
Well, thank you very much. A leader, every husband is a leader in his own home. But it depends on what type of a woman you took. We know, according to the Bible, according to the scriptures, we should live by an example. We should submit to each other. By being as a leader, you are leading your wife. You want your wife to follow. So, although he may contribute, but if that contribution it doesn't show to the submission of the Holy Spirit or this thing, then you have to, explain to her that, honey, this what you are suggesting is not good. You have to be humble to tell her the truth. I remember when I first married, I did not even think about whom the type of woman I'm looking for. I was thinking for the lady that I see that is attractive to me. That was the first thing that I was looking for. You know, during that time, I was not built by Christ, my spirit. I was not having deeper understanding. So I did not consider the lady that I'm trying to marry by looking for a lady that will attract me physically. So it brought some conflict in my development when the Lord was trying to build me. So that conflict, because I've been called by the Lord and I'm been to listen to the Lord, I did not listen to her. I did not listen to her. So as I didn't listen to her, he thought I'm not somebody that, let her to contribute part on the marriage. So it did not help me. So I urge the people to, when you are choosing a woman to be your wife, you have to look for the one that is being born again, the one that is having the Spirit of God inside him. Though a person who is having the Spirit of God is teachable, he's flexible, he can understand everything. But if you marry somebody who go to church and is not yet born again, that one, it will bring conflict, because her own way will be the worldly way, and your own way will be godly way, and you will not let the godly and ungodly to rule over you. So it will bring conflict. So that's why I'm saying it depends on your choice, the foundation that you are building on it. And the Lord knows our hearts. As I've told you, when I was in Africa and I made my mind to come to, my wife that I listened told me, oh, why are you want to go to Europe? Let us go to even my village or our village and farming. He suggested to me. And because I knew the Lord had called me to do something, or he's trying to take me to somewhere, I didn't listen to her. I told her no. I was not trained to be in a village or to go and farming. That was not the place the Lord was calling me to go and do the farming. But he listened to me that I was able to go to Europe. And when I went to Europe, I had to bring her to Europe. And he saw that my own decision has profited her. Now she enjoyed European life, you know. So when he came again, that the Lord was testing me to come to Africa, I told her, my dear, it seems the Lord is telling me to go to Africa, back to Africa, let us go. He said, no, I'm not going. But it was her that was telling me to go and do the farming, you know. But now, as I brought her to Europe, she was not, she didn't listen, but I wanted her to come to Africa. He said, no. So I said, okay, if you want to stay here with the children, it's good. I understand her. So I left her in Italy. Then I came back to Africa just for 1 year. But when I was coming, it was a law that whoever wants to go back to his country will be given all his social money he will be given. So it was very good to me that, I'll get some money to live in Africa, you know, as I'm going. So I decided to give them their papers. And she told me, don't give your papers, you know. I said, all right. If I don't give my people, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. If you don't give up your people, when things become hard for you in Africa, you come back. And I'm somebody who is stubborn in faith. When God tells me this thing, I would like to show. I make a send off party. I call a send off party. I decided to give them their papers and collect my money so that I will not come back to Italy to work again. But she didn't understand me, you know. She didn't understand me. But when I came back to Africa after 1 year, before 1 year, I was able to communicate with her. But, he decided that he changed his mind. Then he questioned me. Show me where it is written in the Bible that when you married a wife, you should leave her, you know. She questioned me. By the time she was in Africa and I was leaving her, he didn't question me that where is it written that when you married a wife, you should leave her. You know, so it depends upon the type of woman we marry. So I'm begging anyone who is listening to me that you have to look for a wife that is, a woman that is born again, a woman that God has his heart, that he can able to follow you to anything, you know. But when you look for any woman, you think this old woman is attractive, that will bring conflict and it will stop you. Either he will stop you or there will be a divorce along the way. So I will, first of all, begging anyone that will listen to me that we should, yoke to a believer. When we talk about, we should not yoke for unbelievers. Everybody who goes to church is not believer. Because what you believe, he doesn't believe. So you have to look for somebody who believes what you believe. Huh? That he believe what you believe, or he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. That will help you to develop you to join our hair together and think straight. But if you marry unbeliever, when we talk about unbeliever, we think only people who are not going to the church, they are unbelievers. No! People in the church, they are unbelievers. Because the attitude, what they think is not what they are thinking. People inside the church, most of them are unbelievers. What they are looking for is worldly things. Huh? God said we should not be friendly with the world. And so some of the people in the church are unbelievers. So as I've said, you have to look for somebody who believes Jesus Christ, who wants to develop also to be like Christ-like. Then he can help you to develop your vision. So that is my example. So if not so, God knows the way to cut one of the distance out. God knows to cut one of you out from your destiny, because God is orchestrating how he can let you fulfill your destiny. So if you don't allow your woman to stop you, and he can cut him off if he doesn't belong to God, you will cut her off. Then you will have your liberty to develop your own way. God have so many ways to cut the mistake you did in the first beginning, because he wants us to join together with somebody who is a believer like you. So,
amen.
So when you find somebody who is a believer like you, then you share ideas, you submit to each other, because he will never allow devil to influence her all what is doing to you, submit to each other, and then you submit to each other, then you have a common ground to pursue your vision. Somebody who is a believer, like you, as you are a believer, he will understand you. The Holy Spirit will instruct both of you. And I advise you also to study together, pray together, do things together, so that you'll be in the same page all the time, that he knows where you are going, he knows the purpose, your purpose become her purpose, your vision become her vision, your everything becomes whatever you believe is whatever he believes, because you are the leader leading her. So he will be submissive to you because you show an example. You love her as Christ has loved the church. So all this, the fruit of the Spirit will appear, will come on, and he will know that you are a real believer, that you are taking her to somewhere that he will never regret. So he will be submissive to you, and that will be easy for you to move forward and to finish your calling, or to finish your vision that God has given to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think it's very important for every Christian believer to find someone that is appropriate for them, and that is a believer, if you are not married. But we also have couples that come together that are not believers together, and then later on one becomes a believer, or they both become a believer. But somehow the fruits of the Holy Spirit are still non-existent. And I think that comes by having a true relationship with God, remaining in covenant, and obeying his word to the best of your ability. Not that we will be perfect, but striving to get there. You know, if someone likes you, in most cases, they will listen to you, but they have to see, they have to trust you and see that you're credible before they will follow you. If they find any characteristic that is not trusting and credible, in most cases they won't follow you, and that could even be with your children. We also have mothers that are raising kids by themselves, and they want the kids to follow them. We also have fathers that are raising children by themselves, and they want the children to follow them. However, they find it difficult. They may find it difficult because they're using authority that is not under the power and under the authority of God. All authority must remain under the Christian relationship of Christ, because if we're following him and we're being guided by him, we will also be doing things the same way that he do it. Now, can we have been wrong before in our authoritarianism leadership style? Yes, we are wrong, but the whole thing is recognizing it, changing it, and moving forward in truth and genuine truth and credibility. One of the quotes that are from M. Scott Peck, he said about leadership, servant leadership is more than a concept. It is a fact. Any great leader, by which I also mean an ethical leader of any group, will see herself or himself as a servant of that group and will act accordingly. I truly believe that if we hold on to a servant leadership, no matter what type of relationship that we're in, as a leader or a follower, or as a husband and a wife, as a mother and child, as a father and child, whatever that relationship is, if we are led by the Spirit of God, we can ease a situation, and we can also be able to, help that person to see the vision of Jesus Christ without force, without using man precepts and laws, but following the word of God. because the Bible tells us that we are beholden to each other. We are all beholden to each other, no matter whether we call ourselves husband or wife, or if we call ourselves mother and daughter. You know, I found that when I respect children, they respect me back. I can remember when I was growing up, one of the most profound persons of my life would have been my grandmother. I respected her so much that she didn't have to hit me, but if she just said something that maybe it did not line up with her, and I wasn't following what she wanted me to do, that alone provokes me to line up quickly, because I loved her that much. If we love Christ, if we love him that much, we can easily align to his will and follow it. Amen?
Amen.
And we can also help others to follow it, because we would have experienced we're walking in the mirror of Jesus Christ, which will provoke us to the right motives for equipping and empowering the followers, any follower. So making empty promises will not lead to fame, nor will your own charisma do it. It is the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ have given each Christian ambassador to promote a Christ-centered environment for the body of Christ. Incorporating these traits can help guide you on the right path to a strong Christian leadership. As I said before, if people like you, they will listen to you, but if they trust you and find you credible, they will follow you. Follow the vision that have been given to you and inspired by Jesus Christ. They will follow it. They will easily open up to it, and they will be a part of the vision. It is not by force, it is not by our might, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And
Amen.
Again, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio Show, which is by Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., and I am the host, Donna Wortham, and we do welcome you to being a part of the Blog Talk Radio Show that we have here. And today is March 3rd. We are here to equip and empower the body of Christ and add value to God, the God-inspired destiny and purpose that he has given you. I'm here with co-host Apostle Paulius Amakodi Cotier, founder of Christ for the African Ministries, and Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple, CME, Boley, Oklahoma. We thank you for being a part of the show, and I'm going to now open up the floor to any listeners. If there's any of the audience out there that want to have something to say, please be on the line right now, and we'll open up the door for you. And while we're waiting, Reverend Betty Shelby, your last final thoughts.
Amen. As he was talking, you just asking about as a leader of the home, I want to say representation. If you are a representative of God, you would want to represent even at the home. If a leader was at home placing his house under such a stringent order, it would be considered bondage. The Bible says a house divided will not stand. When you put oppression on a person in the home, the wife, the children, that you don't give them time to breathe, or as Apostle Paul said, that if you don't give them, let them speak. Everybody has a part in God's order. Now, also, too, we can marry the wrong person. There is such thing as the Jezebel spirit. The Bible talks about it. Ahab married Jezebel. But when you search it out, Jezebel is neither male nor female. It is a spirit. And it's a spirit that worships Baal. which is of the devil. So we have to be careful when we just, by the eyes, the lust of the eyes, cause of the outer man, it looks good. He's handsome. She's gorgeous. But on the inside, God looks at the heart. And when he looks at the heart, he already knows the deception. We're deceived by the beauty. But see, beauty also comes from the inside. The Lord used to always tell me about the cup. He said, the cup is clean on the outside. It means we can bathe and wash our outer body. We can look good. I can look like $1 million today. I can look like a bum. But on the inside, what is my inside? Where is my heart? Am I just as beautiful with my bummish clothes on as I am beautiful with my nice attire on? See, I too have made mistakes in marriage, and the Lord has brought me out, marrying for the wrong reasons. But you know, when we do this, we have to go back to the Father. And the key word of all things, if we made a mistake, is repentance. Please ask God to help you to repent. And he says repent and ask for forgiveness. And if you wronged anyone, turn around and ask that person, your wife, your children, please forgive me for what I have done, and go forward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Apostle Paul, is your final last thoughts. Can you please hold it to maybe 5 minutes?
Oh, yes. As a marriage is a school. It's an institution that it's never be perfect. But the more you stay with your wife or your husband, the perfection will come. Nobody is perfect in marriage. It's a school. Life is a school. So as we are moving day by day, God always teaches how we can make better, how we can better our lives, this thing. But if somebody becomes stubborn, even when you apologize to her, and say, oh, no, I will never accept your apology. And you know that you are sincerely apologizing, that though naturally what you did was wrong, but spiritually what you did was wrong, it was right. But naturally what you did, this thing, God himself knows how he will divinely, remove that person from your life. You see, as I'm talking, when I came back in the United States and I called my wife, say, oh, now I'm not in Africa again. I go and show him God has brought me up. He has given me a visa. Now I'm going to the United States. I show her. He said, oh, I don't care that you are going to the United States. Go and marry your God that you are following, you know. So it became an insult to God. That go and marry your God. To go and marry your God. So I call pastors to say, I'm sorry that I left my wife in Italy and went to Africa. I tell my wife, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. He said, no. When the people are there, he said, oh, okay, I've listened. But when the people go out, he said, no. Go and marry. Go and sleep with your God. Go and marry your God. So I kept be patient and still praying to God. And it still will not listen to God. And God knew her heart. And he called her home on 2009 that you are becoming stubborn. I've given you a time to repent. And you are becoming stubborn. So God called her home. I don't know where God called him, in heaven or in the hell. Only God knows. But I'm praying to God that God will receive her spirit, because he became a stubborn to God, for God to use me for his glory. Well, so what I'm trying to say is that when you become married, there is God, there is a supreme law that governs. This made Adam made a mistake. Adam was married to Eve. But when the law came, Adam was married, Eve was able to influence Adam to listen to Eve rather than to God who has given them the law. So my advice is that natural law and spiritual law, if the natural law concealed with a spiritual law, you have to take a spiritual law. You have to obey the spiritual law, because the spiritual law is the powerful, is the supreme being than the natural law. So I'm arguing you that supreme being, as we are under the kingdom of God, God rulership, most especially in marriages, is above whatever our husband or our wife tells us. We should compare everything to the heavenly rules and see if it is aligned with God or not. Because as Peter wanted Jesus Christ not to fulfill his destiny, the same devil can use our loved ones to stop us not to fulfill our destiny.
Amen.
Because the Bible has told us, Jesus Christ told us, anyone, if you want to be my disciple, forsake everything, even yourself, forsake everything before you can be my disciple. Anybody who loves the father, who loves the mother, who loves the wife, who loves the children more than me, God, can never be my disciple, because the devil can use one of your loved ones to stop you.
Amen.
It is written for our example. It is written for our collection. It is written to prove us that only God, the God love, we should love God above everything. If we
Hallelujah.
Love God above everything, God can
Hallelujah.
Use us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, another prime example of that would have been Samson, and he was deceived by Delilah. So,
yes.
We have to remain strong in our position and in our faith, in love, of course, but we remain strong and in the position of our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As a leader,
Amen.
That also shows
Amen.
Credibility and trust in what God is doing with us. Amen.
Amen.
We do have a caller online with us, and I'm going to open up the floor. She has something that she wants to say. I'm going to ask caller that you please keep it to 5 minutes, as the time is winding down. Please announce yourself and who you are and share your thoughts.
This is Belinda.
Hello, caller. Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Belinda, I'm just listening. I couldn't get on. I'm learning how to use this phone. But I've been listening to y'all since y'all been on.
Oh, okay. No problem. Go ahead and share your thoughts. Please keep it down to 5 minutes, so that...
Nothing. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Nothing other than I have enjoyed what y'all have said, and praise God for it.
Hallelujah. Is there anything that you would like to say, though, at this time, Minister Belinda? Is there anything that you would like to say in line with credibility and trust, how important it is for a leader to remain with those traits for the body of Christ?
Yes, it's very important. Without those characteristics, you cannot be effective in the work, in your ministry and the work of God. Jesus was totally committed to his Father, and it takes total surrender and commitment to Christ and obedience. Because he always said, I come to do the will of my Father. He was making a statement. He didn't come for his will. but his Father's will. So you have to deny yourself and be willing to submit yourself totally, giving your whole heart, mind, soul, and body to whatever God's will is for you. And being totally transparent, because in the scriptures it says, God is not a God that cannot lie, that will lie, nor is there no darkness in him. So the trueness of Jesus Christ, you have to walk in it. Then you can lead people in humility, in humbleness, in love. And something Sister Donna said and Brother Paula, it has to be something that you live daily, not just in the church, but what they see in church, they need to see it in the grocery store. They need to see it in your home. A true living witness to God's word. That's what Jesus lived. It took him total obedience to go to that cross, and he lived it every day of his life. He was a true testament to God's word.
Amen. Amen. We thank you for sharing your thoughts and everything that you've had to say with us at this time, Minister Belinda, and you're always welcome to come in and be a part of the conversation. I know that you're a true soldier of the cross and of the kingdom of God. So we do thank you and we welcome you. Yes. This is again Donna Wortham, and I'm the host of Kingdom Empowerment Inc. And you've been online listening to Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple CME, Boley, Oklahoma, and also with co-host Apostle Paulius Amakodi, founder of Christ for the Africans Ministry. And we are here every Monday. We will be talking about our series on Christian leadership, and we will be sharing with you key traits that will help the Christian leader for today to remain steadfast, immovable, abiding in the will of God. We are a ministry for keyed toward the area of empowering and equipping the body of Christ. Our next series will be sharing the vision with concise clarity, sharing the vision that Jesus Christ have given you with concise clarity. It is very important for the Christian leader to be able to share their vision that have been given to them by God. And this is an area that we find that need to be opened up to the body of Christ so that the followers will have a clear vision that they can grow up and be empowered and equipped in the body of Christ. The rest of this week on our show, we will have March the 5th, 2014 at 9 a.m., that will be 9 a.m. Pacific time, which means that's 12 a.m. Eastern time and 11 a.m. Central time, Central Standard Time. I will be talking and having an interview with a Christian life coach, Dennis James, who will be sharing why a Christian may need a life coach, why a Christian may need coaching along the way, one-on-one, hand-holding, hand-helping, to help them to get to the next level where Christ has taken them, whether it be through leadership, whether it be empowering and equipping in areas where they want to be to grow in. He will be sharing with us. Again, that will be our Kingdom Empowerment Blog Talk Radio interview with Dennis James, a Christian life coach. And on March 6, 2014 at 1 p.m., we will be back here again with my Banda. We will have an interview with her, and she will share what it's like to experience success in the kingdom of God. She will share insights on how you can grow the vision that God has given you and to get a starting base and take that vision and apply specific SMART goals that will help you to be successful. And she also will share what it's like to be successful and still maintain home, your marriage, your relationship with your children, and keep functioning in the kingdom of God. On March 7th, 2014, at 1 p.m., we will be back here again with Apostle Paulius Amakodia and myself, Donna Wortham, as a host. We will be talking about kingdom keys, in which our focus will be on genuine kingdom love. That's genuine kingdom love. And that will be on Friday, March 7th, 2014, at 1 p.m. March 8th, we will be back again, 10 a.m., in the morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That will be a prayer conference, our normal Saturday Kingdom and Power Prayer Hour. And we invite everyone to just call in and be a part of it. You're welcome to ask questions and give any insight in areas that you would like to share. At the end of the calls, we always ask and open up the door, so you're welcome to be a part of the show at any time. If you would like to also be a guest on the show, please contact me. My name, again, is Donna Wortham. You can reach me on my email address at donna.wortham@kingdomempoweredinc.com, and I'll be glad to take and consider your guest request. I do ask that you send in your biography, your picture, and your topic that you would like to share with us. Again, I would like to say on Friday, with this seems to be a hot topic. We had over 106,000 people that was interested in the topic. We will be talking about Kingdom Keys, genuine kingdom love in contrast with the four worldly loves. That will be with Apostle Paulius Amakodia of African Christ for the Africans Ministry and myself, host Donna Wortham. We do thank you for being a part of the show today. We love you, and we invite you to be with us again. Until we meet again, I'm going to share Servant of God by Ma Banda, who is a true servant of God and a strong Christian leader. And before we close out, and is there anything else that you would like to say, Reverend Betty and Apostle Paulius, before I close out?
No, just praise the Lord, and may you have a blessed day.
All right. Lord bless you too. Apostle Paulius, can you pray us out now so I can share Servant of God by Maya Banda?
Oh, Father, we thank you for the discussion that you have made it possible for us to discuss. We pray that we humble our spirit and your spirit will enter us and teach us more, because the Holy Spirit, who is the revelation of your whole truth. You see, when the Spirit come upon you, it will lead you to all the truth. Father, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to lead us to all truth, so that we may be able to defeat the devil. We may be able to overcome it, O Lord. That we may be able to influence our followers to follow you at the end of the time, that will come and rapture us. We are desiring for the divine nature that will give us the divine nature that will be ready for the rapture. We thank you. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And then I'm closing out again with Servant of God by Mai Banda, who will be on the show with us on Thursday, where she'll be sharing her kingdom success, how to be successful in the kingdom of God. And she will also be sharing with us some of her music and some of the events that will be coming up in the near future. Again, that will be with my Banda experience success in the kingdom of God, which will be Thursday on March 6th at 1 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Central Time, and that will be 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We do thank you again for being a part of the show, and again, as I always say, we love you and we welcome you anytime. Listening to Kingdom Empowered Inc. Blog Talk Radio. Amen. You have been listening to Kingdom Empowerment 8 Blog Talk Radio Show. Thanks for everyone taking time to come out today and listen with us. We thank you and we love you, and God bless you.